Wonder if you've ever had the door shut on you. Maybe after an argument with a friend or one of your kids, they've literally shut the door on you. It's not a nice experience, is it? Or maybe you're just trying to speak to your teacher. You know, they're in the classroom, you can see they're in there. You want to speak to them about your assignments, but you just can't get in. It's really frustrating. Or when you're texting that friend, you're sending in the messages and they just don't respond. That's another kind of feeling, like people are shutting the door on you. You feel excluded. When people shut the door on us, in different ways, it really hurts, doesn't it? And in our passage today, the church in Philadelphia, they've had the doors shut on them as well, literally. They were kicked out of their local synagogue, where Jews would gather together to pray and hear God's word. And the message from that is clear. The synagogue doors are shut, and they're saying, look, you don't belong here. You're not part of God's people. Imagine how that must have felt. But you know what, this church, you know, we've looked at some good ones and some bad ones, haven't we? This church was not a compromising church like a lot of the other churches in Asia Minor. And this bit of Revelation, we've seen they've had lots of problems, haven't they? But this is a faithful church. Philadelphia was a faithful church. They were faithful under persecution. And you know what, being kicked out of that local synagogue, it's kind of a double blow, right? They're not just feeling that exclusion, but if you were kicked out of the local synagogue like that, they would have lost some legal protection against emperor worship. So like in the town around you, people would have been pressured to worship the emperor. That's the thing you do. But the Jews had a special protection against that. When you're kicked out of the synagogue, they face even more pressure from the pagan community around them to take part, to be forced to enter into this idol worship. And that's why Jesus speaks the way he does in this letter today, because all of these things that are going on, Jesus is speaking right into their situation. Right into their situation. They might be excluded by pagans and Jews, but Jesus makes it clear he welcomes them into the kingdom. And as we look at this passage today, I think it's going to encourage us to have confidence in Christ. To have confidence in Christ, remember, heaven's door is open for you. To have confidence in Christ, persevere for your reward. So let's look verses 7 to 9, where we're going to be reminded, like the church in Philadelphia, that in Christ, heaven's door is open for us. Like many Christians in those times, the church in Philadelphia, they're kicked out of their local synagogue. Doesn't just happen in Philadelphia, unfortunately. You can read Acts and see people being booted out of the synagogue. In the eyes of these leaders of the synagogue, they had the authority to kick people out, and that's what they do. And in their eyes, these Christians, they're not part of God's kingdom. So they're shut out from the synagogue. That's a symbolic act of being excluded from God's kingdom. And that context is what makes Jesus' words here so striking. Jesus lets the church in Philadelphia know who has the real authority. Who has the real authority to shut and open doors in God's kingdom? Jesus lets them know who has the authority. Look at how he describes himself in verse 7. The words of the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. In the Bible, the Holy One is a common title for God. Jesus claims here, as in many other parts of the Bible, that he is God. He has supreme authority. And he is the True One, the trustworthy one, who has the key of David. And the key of David was another way of talking about who has authority over the house of David. That's another name for the Jews, as the people of God. Jesus is saying then that he is God. He's the trustworthy one who has ultimate authority over the people of God. So if anyone has authority to decide, you know, who's in and who's out of God's kingdom, it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus. He is the trustworthy key holder. Not these leaders in the synagogue. You might have been a bit frustrated because you've been left outside once at church. You know, sometimes it happens, doesn't it? Because you have to wait for a key holder to open the door. Sometimes we get locked out of church and it's no key, no entry. But the good news is that, you know, Jesus doesn't ever come late, doesn't he? Doesn't come late. He doesn't fail to see that you're there, you're patiently waiting outside. No. Jesus has the key. And what has he done? He's flung the doors of the kingdom wide open. He's flung them wide open for his followers to flock in. There's no chance of you getting left in the cold. Jesus is the true key holder to the house of God. And no one can shut that door unless he authorizes it. Look at verse 8. Jesus sees the church in Philadelphia clearly. He can see their faithful, can't he? I know your works. He knows their good works. Even though that synagogue door was firmly shut, the door of God's kingdom is wide open. Jesus is not going to let anyone shut it. He's going to welcome in his faithful followers. He knows that, look, humanly speaking, what are they? They're not particularly powerful, are they? They've got little power. You know, they're not particularly influential or powerful. Probably a small congregation like ours. Maybe you would feel like they couldn't make much of a major impact on the city around them. But even though they're small, they've been faithful to the mission that Jesus has given them. So on that last day, I think it's going to be just like in the parable of the talents. Jesus is going to say to them, look, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Jesus is going to welcome this church in to enjoy his new kingdom. They're small. They might feel insignificant, but they've been faithful. They've been shut out, but Jesus shows them he has the true authority to open and close doors in his kingdom. And he shows them that, look, the door is wide open to you in my kingdom. You are my faithful followers. But he doesn't stop there, does he? There's also the negative side. He wants the church to know, look, here's my judgment on people who wrongly shut others out of the kingdom, or try to wrongly shut people out of the kingdom. I mean, they're pretty strong words, aren't they? Verse 9, you can't miss them. He calls them a synagogue of Satan. You know, he doesn't mess around, does he? They claim to know God, but what does Jesus call them? He calls them liars. They're saying they're lying. It's pretty strong language, isn't it? Doesn't beat around the bush, does he? He gets straight to it. And it's kind of like that when he confronted the other religious leaders in the Gospels. He does the same thing. Jesus is consistent here. He lets people know how serious their evil behavior is. However good it might look on the outside, however respectable, he can see clearly what's going on. To those kind of people, he says, woe to you, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. The kind of people that claim to be Jews, the people of God, but they're only outwardly religious. Sure, they have family heritage and circumcision as a sign to show that they're set apart for God. But this synagogue, they're not inwardly Jewish. Their hearts are far from God. And that's what really matters. When it comes down to it, they reject Jesus. They reject the Messiah. And they reject his followers. I think it's pretty safe to say that this synagogue of Satan would pridefully expect that on Judgment Day, that God's going to be pleased with them. They think that this is what's going to happen. They think that the Christians are going to come and bow before them and recognize them as the true Israel. Because the prophets talk about that happening. The prophets talk about God's enemies coming and bowing before God's people. A sign of recognizing, look, you guys are legit. You got it right. You're the true people of God. But Jesus, he flips their prideful expectations on their heads. He lets them know how it's really going to go down. It's the synagogue of Satan who are going to be doing the bowing down, isn't it, on that day? Behold, I will make them come. That's the synagogue of Satan. I will make them come and bow down before your feet. And they will learn that I have loved you. So the synagogue, the guys who've tried to exclude people from the kingdom of God, they're going to find themselves excluded on God's judgment day. It's a serious judgment for those who try to wrongly shut people out of God's kingdom. And just as a note, I think it's a sober reminder for us as well, isn't it? It'd be very wrong for any of us to exclude someone from church simply because, you know, we don't think they're worthy of God's kingdom. It's easy to get precious about church being done our way, isn't it? And to begin to think that people who aren't like us, they might spoil or make church worse. But Jesus has opened the kingdom, the door of the kingdom to them. And if we have a problem with that, then, you know, we might find that we don't understand God's kingdom. And that actually, the door of the kingdom is shut to us. Because we don't really get Jesus. He's not really our Saviour and Lord. The church in Philadelphia, they were faithful. And you know what? These words, all of them would have brought great comfort to them. They would have confidence in Christ because even though that synagogue door was shut, the door that really matters, heaven's door, is wide open for them. And you know what? Heaven's door is open for us as well. As followers of Jesus, heaven's door is open for you too. It's wide open. And I think as we've just thought about what's happening in Philadelphia and what Jesus is saying here, I wonder if you've ever felt like those believers in Philadelphia, because I know that actually people in this church, some people would have had that door shut in our face in different ways. Maybe you visited a church and it's very clear that you're not welcome. You don't look like everybody else and you don't sound like everybody else. People look at you funny or make sly comments. And some people just tell you plainly, look, we don't want you to come back here. That could really put you off following Christianity, couldn't it? That could really put you off following Jesus. I was chatting to my friend the other day and he was telling me a story all about that. See, one of his relatives, they came over from the Caribbean to work and to settle here. And he told me, look, they're a traditional churchgoer. He wasn't really sure they really had a Christian faith of their own, but he wants to go to church, okay? So when he comes over here to work, what does he do? He just wants to go to church. So he finds his local church, and he goes along there. And you know what? On his very first Sunday, you know what happened? Church let him know he wasn't welcome. Oh, excuse me, sir. You know, please don't come back. You're just causing a bit of a disturbance. Sounds very polite and proper, doesn't it? But you know what? Jesus doesn't care for appearing polite and proper when actually, underneath, our actions are evil. It's clear what the problem was. He didn't look or sound like everyone else in the church. So they shut him out. And you know what? Sadly, to this day, this particular guy, my friend's relative, he's not set foot in a church ever again. That experience has so scarred him. And sadly, I think, you know, it might not be quite the same situation. I think some people in our church would have experienced stuff like that, either here in the UK or on the way over here, because they look a bit different or they sound different to the other people in their church. And if that's you today, just remember, Jesus is the one who has the real authority. Jesus is the one who says who is welcome and who isn't welcome in his kingdom. And Jesus says that heaven's door is open for you. It doesn't matter whatever your skin colour, whatever your background, whatever your language, whatever your physical or mental health situation. People can try to exclude us for all kinds of reasons, can't they? But those people that make you feel excluded at church are the ones in danger of being excluded from God's kingdom because of their hypocrisy. So when you feel like you don't belong in church because of these bad experiences, or because you look and sound so different to other people in the church, remember that Jesus welcomes you. If you come to church for Jesus because you want to love and follow him, Jesus will never turn you away. Heaven's door is open for you. Faithfully follow him, knowing that he loves you and accepts you. Have confidence in Christ. Remember, heaven's door is open for you. But maybe you've been fortunate enough not to have those kind of experiences of feeling excluded from church. I think all of us as Christians can be persecuted, can't we, by being excluded in other ways, all sorts of other things. It might not be the synagogue, but it could be at school or at college that we face social exclusion. People leave us out of things, don't they? Wherever it is, because we're Christians. They don't like that we're Christians. Could be other places, it could be work, it could be places you volunteer. Sometimes people exclude us from promotions or opportunities because we don't believe what they see is right in their eyes, because we're Christians. Christians throughout the ages, we've been excluded from stuff because of our faith. But you know what? We can find comfort that if everyone else around us excludes us, you know what? Jesus never will. Jesus loves us, and he's kept the door of heaven open for us. He's ready to welcome us in. He's faithful followers. We have the hope of eternity with Jesus. And if we trust in him, look, we're never going to be truly excluded. I love one of the songs we usually sing at church, you know, outside of global pandemics, we usually sing. And it's a brilliant song we sing. And it's all about that. It picks up that theme that we're not excluded, we're not alone, because Jesus is with us. I want to just read like the last verse of it. I think it's great. Never alone is now our cry. In joy, in grief, in lonely sin, never alone, for Christ is ours. He lives in us. We live in him. Until we reach that final day, when fears are gone, cast far away, we'll live secure, trust in his love, never alone. Christ is with us. He's with us. Great words, aren't they? Great words to be reminded of. Look, the pandemic's been a lonely time for us all, hasn't it? But this is a great comfort in remembering Jesus is with us. Even though other people might exclude us, he welcomes us in. This message today from Jesus is addressed at Christians. We've got to be clear about that. Jesus is reminding these Christians, look, heaven's door is open for you. You know, one day soon you will meet me and enjoy my kingdom forever. But if you're not a Christian, then heaven's door isn't open for you yet. Because there's only one way to know God, and that's through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who has the key of David. We looked at that, didn't we? He's the only one who can open heaven's door for you. But he doesn't want to keep that door shut. The Bible is really clear that Jesus calls everyone, absolutely everyone, to turn to him to be saved. So whoever you are, if you want to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to come to him, he's not going to turn you away. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus will welcome you. He's in the business of welcoming sinners like us, isn't he? He's in the business of welcoming sinners. You don't have to sort yourself out first. But instead, recognize you can't fix yourself. Only Jesus can save you. And he's the only one who will never leave you if you trust in him. You can live secure, trusting in his love, knowing you're never alone, but Christ is with you. If you want to know Jesus like that, turn to him today. And if that's something you want to do, we'd love you to get in touch. We'd love to help you to find out more about following Jesus. You can get in touch with us on our website. We want people to have confidence in Christ. And if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, heaven's door is open for you. Next up, we're going to finish by looking at verses 10 to 13 together. That's our second part, a bit shorter. But we're still reminded to have confidence in Christ. Persevere for your reward. Persevere for your reward. This church in Philadelphia, they've been faithful to Jesus. Throughout all this suffering, throughout all this persecution, they've been faithful. They kept Jesus' word about patient endurance. So Jesus encourages them to keep on, to persevere for their reward. Trials and tribulations are going to come their way. But Jesus will be with them and protect them so that they remain faithful to the end, so they receive their reward. And those future trials and tribulations that are described here, aren't they? In verse 10, look at verse 10. They're described as the hour of trial. Can you look at that there? It's not a literal hour in the future, like, you know, 6 p.m. in 2050. It's a period of time. A period of time that's filled with trials and tribulations for this church. Jesus is not going to let them be defeated. He's going to carry them through those difficult times. That's the encouragement here. So that they conquer in Christ. All these faithful Christians are called to do is to remain faithful through it all. Keep going. Times are going to be difficult, but I will be with you. You will conquer. That's what Jesus says. You will conquer. Remain faithful. That's why it says, hold fast what you have. Look at verse 11. That's what he's saying there. He's, hold on to your faith in Jesus. Remain obedient to his word. They've shown themselves faithful, but they've got to keep on being faithful to receive that reward so that no one can take their crown. It's a bit like running a marathon, isn't it? You know, like if you're a marathon runner, I'm not saying any of us here might be, but a marathon runner, they've got to run a good race, haven't they? You see them running on the telly probably, and they've got their stages, right? And you can see how hard it is. There's many stages and trials along the way. And there'll be temptation to give up, to forfeit their prize at the end, even though they're so close to the finish line. They're going to be tempted to give up. But like a marathon runner, we've got to keep our eyes fixed on the finish line, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we make it to the end. That's all that language of the crown. It's a reward. Like a marathon, you're running for that reward. You want to make it. That picture language helps the church in Philadelphia to grasp the importance of persevering. Keep on. So that they receive that crown. Not a literal crown, but their reward in Christ. If they complete that race, if they conquer, they're going to be rewarded. And then all of that reward language, it comes at the end, doesn't it? Look at verse 12. It's amazing how Jesus, how he shapes this end bit. How he speaks these words so specifically into their situation. It brings comfort to a church excluded from the synagogue community. Look, they've been kicked out of the synagogue, right? What does Jesus say? He'll make this church into pillars of an even greater temple. Isn't that amazing for a church that has experienced being booted out of the temple? Of the synagogue, sorry. This church will be part of a new and better spiritual temple that they won't ever be kicked out of. What a great promise. And even though this synagogue community in Philadelphia, you know, they were meant to be the people of God, even though these guys had disowned the Christians there in Philadelphia, what's God done? He's claimed them for himself. Look at that language. The church in Philadelphia will bear the name of God the Father, the name of the holy city. And Jesus' own new name. The church are true servants of God. They are true citizens of the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. They are true followers of the Messiah. Even though they've been disowned by people, God's not disowned them, has he? God's saying, no, you are mine. I'm not going to disown you. And verse 13 finishes like, a lot of these messages, all of the messages to the churches, we're encouraged, aren't we? This is what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. We need to listen up to as his church in Oldham, as part of his church in Oldham. We need to have confidence in Christ, don't we? To persevere for our reward. Just like the church in Philadelphia, we've come a long way to be here today. I mean, some people have literally travelled thousands of miles. But I mean, in your Christian journey, we've come a long way to be here today. Through different trials and difficulties. Look, at times it would have been easy for any one of us to give up and to give in to sin. But we are like those marathon runners. We're keeping going. We're going for that prize. We've remained faithful to Jesus, and he's remained faithful to us. So press on. Keep going in that race. Keep trusting in Jesus and obeying him through all of life's seasons. There is a glorious reward that awaits you. There is a crown at the end of your race. Look to Jesus and finish the race you started. Look, people are going to try to exclude us and shut us out. But remember, you are the temple of God. No one can exclude you from the kingdom. People may try and disown you, but you are known and loved by God. You bear his name. Don't forget that. Don't forget that as you run your race. Remember, you're not alone. Christ is with you, and he will help you persevere for your reward. Have confidence in him. This week, like every week, we're going to be challenged to remain faithful to Jesus. Look, there's going to be opportunities to cut corners, to make our lives easier, to avoid suffering and persecution. That comes your way as a Christian. We can't avoid that. But whether it's through exclusion or something else, whatever your trial is, remain faithful to Jesus. He's not going to let you down. Keep persevering for your reward. For some of us, this week is going to mean feeling terrible again and being tempted in that suffering to sin in some way, to make us feel better. Look to Jesus. You know, don't lash out at people when you're hurting. Don't turn to sin's comforts. Jesus will be with you. He will carry you through those difficult times. Persevere for your reward. For others of us, you know, this week is going to be that week where our friend or family member, they ask that awkward question about what Christians believe. Don't dodge it. Answer it wisely and graciously point them to Jesus. It would be easier, wouldn't it, to deflect and to distract from it, from that kind of question. I've been often tempted by that. Conflict is hard for some of us, isn't it? We want to avoid those questions. But you know what? Remain faithful to Jesus when the pressure is on. Speak for him. Persevere for your reward. Of course, there is grace for us when we fail. We won't be perfect. But with the Holy Spirit at work in us, we can be faithful. So persevere for your reward. Whatever your suffering or persecution, you know, I might not know, other people might not understand how great that is, how difficult that is. But you know what Jesus does? Jesus understands you and he knows you like nobody else does. And he has prepared for you as a believer that indescribable, glorious reward that awaits you. And he is ready to welcome you home on that last day. Have confidence in Christ. Persevere for your reward. Amen.